In the opening Mishnah, Shloshes She'achlu, the Mishnah tells us that if they ate non-kosher bread, they're not mitztak from the Zimun. It's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raida, the Rambam and most of the Rishon, what the Pshat is. The Rambam learns no bracha is may be recited on non-kosher food, not a bracha before, not a bracha after. Not just that you don't bench Pizum, you don't say a bracha at all. And the other Rishonim disagree, and Shulchan Aruch they pass on like the Rambam, that no bracha is recited unless it was b'makom heter, if it's b'makom pikuach nefesh, and then we don't distinguish between Yom Kippur and Macholas Asuras, even though some Rishonim do distinguish. They say Yom Kippur, the food is kosher, but the zman is as man, he says, as opposed to non-kosher food, that they would, even b'makom pikuach nefesh, some Rishonim say you don't say a bracha. So we don't accept that opinion. Shulchan Aruch Rav Soloveitchik said he doesn't see why there should be a difference at all. He doesn't see why any Rishonim should say it like that. So Shulchan Aruch, that's the Psak HaMekubal, that it doesn't make a difference. Whenever you eat it beheter, then a bracha is recited. And the other Rishonim learned that there's no mezumen. Because Kesher Rishonim Ein Min HaMinyan, if you have a lot of people joined together to do an Aveira, they're considered Yechidim. When people join together to do a mitzvah, that's considered a tzibur. But if they join together to do an Aveira, that's not called Shloshes She'achlu Kachas. Everybody has his own angle. Everybody has his own kavanah. So the Mishnah gives you a list of real non-kosher foods as opposed to foods that are not exactly kosher, but you can't say that they're not kosher. So the Mishnah says about demai. So that we discussed. The Gemara has the whole discussion started from Mem Zayinim. And I'll go on with the Mem Zayinim. So demai was only introduced by the Chachamim, by the Tanoim, and towards the end of the Bais Sheni period, it was introduced as a Chumrah. It was introduced as a Chumrah, because Mikra Din Rabba Amirat Ma'asrin Hain, Rashi writes two reasons. Mikra Din Rabba Amirat Ma'asrin Hain, you have a right to go Basarayv. Number two, the Amorites tells me that I was Mafrish Ma'asis. So, Eidecha Dem and Bisurim. And despite the fact that he's swearing on a Sefer Torah that it's kosher, and Rav Amorat Masenhain, we say you're not allowed to eat it because of the miut, who are not mafrish maises. You have to be mafrish. So since it was only intended as a chumrim of the Rabbanan, so that's a machlok is b'sham and b'sil, so we pass like b'sil. Machilim is anim d'may, v'esu achsanya d'may. Anim means you can't afford, okay? And achsanya is a machlok is harishayim, Tosis has two opinions. Achsanya means the army. Which army is it? The one interpretation is that it's a Jewish army to have the same status like Anim. And the other interpretation is, no, it's Goyish soldiers. So Goyish soldiers, Goyim are allowed to eat treif for food. What's the problem? You can give Nevelis a treifis to the Goyim. The answer is, yeah. But Tevel is also Bahanoa Shel Kilui. The Gemara proves in the second parak Himsach, the Gemara has long discussions to establish which Macholas Asuris are also Bahanoa, which are muta b'hano. So the Gemara establishes that tevel is muta b'hano, means I can, if I instead, there's no chair to sit on. So either I sit on the floor or I have a sack, I have a plastic sack, let's say, and it's full of tevel. I'm going to sit on the tevel, so it's going to be easier for me. Instead of sitting on the floor, I'm sitting on a higher elevation. So that's tevel is muta b'hano. That's taki correct, but that's hano she'ena shel kili. But to feed tevel to the animals are not Jewish, or to feed tevel to the Goyisha guests, they're not Jewish, that's not allowed, because that's Hanor Shel Kilui. That's a machlokes, the Mishlan Melech quotes, as machlokes and Rishonim, whether this Issa, that you're not allowed to get Hanor Shel Kilui from tevel, is this a din deraisa, or is it a din derabbanan? Many hold that it's only a din derabbanan. But bottom line, in real tevel, you're not allowed to feed to the behemoths, or to the Chayalim Nochrim. But the Mai, they were Mekel. So that's the Mishnah has like that. Then the Mishnah talks about the next line, Maiser Rishon Shenitlo Trumasa Pshita. Maiser, when you give Maiser to the Levim, so the Levim have to be Mafish Maiser Mina Maiser, and that has the same status as Truma Gedolah. Truma Gedolah is only Nechel by Kohanim. So the Mishnah has a Masech Zmila. There are four things that are Mamashay Mechot, Truma Gedolah, Chala, Bikurim, and Maisa and Amaisa have exactly the same din. So usually we say, Ein Isurim Mitztar from Zeh. You get Malkus only if you eat a Kazayas of Trefus. One Tana holds in the Mishnah Malkus, Reb Shimon holds Kol Shuhul of Malkus. Lama Kazayas Ela Linya Chattas Bilvad. Ein Achil Pchusim Kazayas is only how much Chelev do you have to eat B'shoigek to be Chai B'chattas. So there the din is Kazayas. But if you eat the Chelev B'mezid, Reb Shimon is of the opinion kol shehu l'malkus. We don't accept that. Then there's another opinion. Yeah, you have to eat a kazayis of food, but it doesn't all have to be tray for food. If you eat half a kazayis of chazer and a sandwich, have a sandwich, the whole sandwich together is a kazayis. The chazer shabo, the ham, the slice of ham in the middle of the sandwich is a chatzi kazayis, and the bread is a chatzi kazayis. So that's the opinion. The ratanayim hold hetem mitztarfelis and kol haTorah kulo. So we don't accept that. We paskan ain hetem mitztarfelis. So then there's a further machlokes. What if I eat a half a gazayis of chazer and a half a gazayis of basa b'cholov? They're two totally unrelated isurim, no shaykhs with each other. So there is the opinion of a Tana, isurim mitzar from zem zeh. Bottom line, you ate a gazayis of treifus, so we don't accept that either. We pass on any isurim mitzar from zem zeh. So you only, they're only mitzar from zem zeh. Let's say I have a half a gazayis of nivlas ha'oif and a half a gazayis of nivlas behema. So that's shame echad. You know, each one has a different taste. Chicken is chicken and meat is meat, totally different things. But that's all Shem Echot, so it's been star from Yachad. So that's what the Mishnah says. If you are not a Kohen and you eat the mezid, a quarter of a kazais of truma, a quarter of a kazais of challah, a quarter of a kazais of maisem and a maisem, a quarter of a kazais of bikurim, then you are loike, because all four are Shem Echot. That's what the Mishnah Me'ilah says. If Shmaseim Shovim and Shiurim Shovim, them it start from Zem. Then the Mishnah gives this example. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah is talking about such a case. The fellow has Maisa Rishon Shenitlo Trumasai. He took out the Trumas Maisa, but he didn't take out the Truma. Or he took out the Truma. The Mishnah sounds like Maisa Rishon. He took out the Trumas Maisa. No, it's 100% kosher lam hadrim and a hadrim. So what's the problem of him? Gemara says, no, it's a case. It's a case. So what's the case? So the Gemara says, first of all, Chiddush number one, there's such a thing as Higdima Bishibolim. Bishibolim means before you did the Miruach and the Riyas Penei Abayis. Tevel, if a person eats Tevel, is Misa B'dei Shammai. Bizman has said the whole Trumas of Mises and Eretzel is only with the Rabbanon. That's the Psak and Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rambam, and the Ramah doesn't disagree. Ramah leaves it like that. The Trumas of Mises, Bizman has said, is only with the Rabbanon. Why is it only with the Rabbanon? Why the binding, the Chumash is not binding anymore. Shabbos and Kashrus and Taurus HaMishpacha is not binding anymore. There's a professor who used to say like that. He said after the Holocaust, since the Rabbanu Shlom didn't live up to his half of the deal of protecting the Jewish people, when I'm going to live up to our half of the deal, that's kfirit. That's apikursus. What do you mean? He's judging God. He gave God an F minus. The Rabbanu Shlom didn't live up to it. The Rabbanu Shlom always lives up to his half of the deal. You don't understand it. We don't understand. That's what you're supposed to say, Tzidik Adin. When a tragedy occurs, we all say Tzidik Adin. Meaning is on a day that you don't say Tachna, you don't say Tzidik Adin. So today's like Baima. So you don't say Tzidik Adin. But normally, Tzidik Adin means that God is judged, Tzidik Hashem B'chol D'Rochav. The Baruch Shalom knows what he's doing. He always leaves up to his half of the deal. We don't understand the details, but that's what we believe. So all the laws of the Torah bind. Why is Truma B'zman is the only way the Rabbanon? So the Rambam says he thinks even Truma Bizman by Sheini Bimei Ezra was only with Rabbanon, and he says because there was a lack of Bias Kulchem. Bias Kulchem is a Gemara in Ksubis in the second Perek around Afcha Beis. So the Gemara says it with respect to Challah. The Gemara says that it says Bevayachem Hoy Bevayachem Al Haaretz. Bevayachem means as you're coming into Eretz Yisrael, Challah there when he's Chayber right away. Before the Shevish HaKavshon and the Shevish HaChilcha, Trumas HaMaisis, they were only chayv after the first 14 years in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Because the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael, the first time around, that's called Kedusha Rishayna. Mekadosh the first time around was Kibosh HaOretz and the Gemara. So it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael from the Lamed Aleph Malachim, that says in Sefer Yeshua. It took 7 years. And then the Gemara says we have an oral tradition, historical tradition, that it took an additional 7 years before they divided all Eretz Yisrael, the Shvatim and the Mishpachas and the Yechidim. And one was Kalecha V'yechad Makar Eschelka, that's the Lashon the Rambam quotes from the Sifra. When it was Kalecha V'yechad Makar Eschelka, everybody knew this is my farm, this is your house, that's his farm. Everybody knows whose is whose. So then, that was the Gemar HaKibush, and that was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. So the first Shemitah was year number 21, because the first 14 years didn't count. And they weren't observing Trumas HaMaisis. And the first year of it was year 64 again, because the first 14 years didn't count. Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha. So despite the fact that all of the other mitzvahs, Tatlius, Bo'aretz, didn't begin until after 14 years, there's one exception to the rule, Chala. Because Chala says, Bivayachem al Horetz, when you're in the process of coming into Eretz Yisrael. Right away, the day number one is Chayva b'Chala, when they came into Eretz Yisrael. So nonsense, Chala is more Chayiv than Shumas and Maiz. But then the Gemara says on the same daf, on daf Chabbeis and Ksubis, in another sense, Chala is less Chayiv than Shumas and Maiz. Each one has its Kulis and its Chumis. Because Chala b'zman, the Gemara says, Chala b'zman b'yisheini, there was no bias kulchem. So Chala b'zman b'yisheini was only the Rabbanon. And Shumas and Maiz, the Gemara says, maybe it was Menatur. The Gemara is not sure. So the Gemara says, b'feirish, bias kulchem is only a condition in Chala, has nothing to do with Shumas and Maiz. So that Rambam is a peller. What does he quote? The Pasuk b'vayachem, that you need bias kulchem, that's only a din by Chala. There's a different word. There's a din that Yovel only applies when you have Kol Yashvehu Aleho, because you have the Pasuk in Parshas Behar. That's the Pasuk that the Jewish community of Pennsylvania commissioned. They paid for the money to have their Liberty Bell made in Europe, and it was brought over to America, and they wanted that Pasuk to be written on the Liberty Bell, and thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. Across from Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yashvehu. What does it mean, proclaim liberty? Means that Eved Ivri is Yotze B'Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. So that pasuk says, Krosim Dror Boris L'chol Yashvehu, so the Gemara understands in the end of Erech HaMizman, Shekol Yashvehu Aleho, that you have to have Kol Yashvehu Aleho. Bias Kuchem is not the same. Kol Yashvehu Aleho means B'Poel Mamish. The Poel Mamish, the Gemara says, the beginning of the Kedusha Rishon in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, it was Bias Kuchem, and the Kedusha was there till the Babylonian armies took away the land from the Jewish people. Then they undid the kibbutz. But the Gemara says the last few years of the Bais Rishon period, even though Eretz Yisrael had a full Kedusha deraisa, till the conquest of the Babylonian armies, and they undid the kibbutz, so the Memela, the whole Kedusha starts vanished into thin air. But the Gemara says the last couple of years, since there wasn't Kol Yashvehu Aleho, there was a Bias Kulchem, though. Bias Kulchem is a din in the Shas HaKibush. When you bekadosh the land, then you have bias kulchem. So in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they had bias kulchem. The kedusha was there till kibush haaretz, till Nebuchadnezzar's armies overturned the government. But the last couple of years, after the golus of some of the shvatim, so the Gemara says it was no longer kol yashveh haaleh. So Yovel was no longer observed. Then there's a machlokes hatanoim. The Gemara never quotes it. Rashi always quotes it, and the Gemara alludes to it. It's a machlekes hatanoim in the Sifra in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, that the Psukim and the Chumash, you have two different parshas, two different paragraphs. First paragraph says, every 7 years you observe Shemitah. Then it says, after seven Shemitahs, 49 years, then the 50th year should be Yovel. And with respect, and then there's either Psukha or Stuma in between the two different paragraphs in the Chumash, one after the other. So there's a machlekes Rebbe and a Chachamim in the Sifra, the beginning of Bahar. We know that Kol Yashvehu Aleho is a condition in observance of Yovel. So what about with respect to Shemitah? It says Shemitah, every 7th year is Shemitah, and then the 7 Shemitahs lead up to Yovel, and Yovel only applies if it's Kol Yashvehu Aleho. So does that mean that Shemitah, Bizmancha ain't Kol Yashvehu Aleho, so Shemitah is only the Rabbanon? No. Shemitah is deraisa, whether Kol Yashvehu Aleho or not. If you have Kedushas HaOretz, Shemitah is a din deraisa. If you have Kol Yashvehu Aleho, it'll lead up to Yovel. If you don't have Kol Yashvehu Aleho, it won't lead up to Yovel. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. The pashtus is that the Rambam paskins, because the Rambam is not so clear. So the pashtus and the Rambam, because the Mishnah claims that the Rambam paskins that Shemitah b'zman is as deraisa, even though it clearly cannot lead up to Yovel because there's no Kol Yashvehu Aleho. There are no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. There's barely a minyan living in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Rambam. Hardly anybody lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the Kes Mishnah, where did the Kes Mishnah get it? Because the Rambam writes that the dinim of Shemitah apply menatera bizman abayis v'shalo bizman abayis. So v'shalo bizman abayis means in the days of David HaMelech, before they built the Bais Rishon. Shalo bizman abayis. Does it mean after the Churban also, and you hardly have any Jews living in Eretz Yisrael? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But that's where the Kes Mishnah took it, that the Rambam says, Bein b'fnei abayis, bein shalo b'fnei abayis, means even Mizmancha ain't Kol Yashvehu Aleho, and Yovel you don't observe. Yovel is only knowing when you have Kol Yashvehu Aleho, the Pasuk on the Liberty Bell. So the Rambam holds that nonetheless Shemitah is Dereis. And Rabbi Yosef Engel was a mechutin of the Kotzke Rebbe, Morgenstern, the Kotzke Rebbe. So he, Kotzke Rebbe wrote a whole kol kore why the Jews who lived in the colonies in Eretz Yisrael, the early years of the early 1900s, the late 1800s, the early 1900s, so they relied on the Het HaMechira. So he has a whole kol kore why it's shaloi kedin, that they're a violation of Shemitah, and Shemitah is a din deraisa, and Shemitah is called Shabbos, Shabbos Haaretz, and a mechal Shabbos befres, a din ka'akum. So he says all the Jewish colonists who are doing avodas hakarka and Eretz Yisrael, they have a din ka'akum, because mechal Shabbos befres, a din ka'akum, and Shemitah bezman is as deraisa. So Rabbi Yosef Engel sent them a letter, and then he printed the letter. The letter is, I think, 99 pages long, an open letter to my dear Mechutna Kotzke Rebbe. And he rips apart every line that he wrote there in the Kol Kari. He says that the whole thing is not correct. And he says, I'm prepared to swear a Shvud Araisa that the Rambam's opinion is not like the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is wrong, he says. The Rambam's opinion is that Shemitah Bezman is as the Rabban. Because that's the accepted opinion in the Gemara. We follow Rebbe's opinion, even though Rebbe's in the minority. Machlokes Rebbe Nachachon. But the Gemara says all the Mishnah. The Gemara on Daf Gimel and Moed Katan. And in Gittin like that, and Daf Lamed Ches, all the sugyas, the Gemara talks, the Gemara says that Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is only the Rabbanah because Shemitah depends on Yovel. And if you know the Shemitah is not going to lead up to a Yovel because you don't have Kol Yoshua Aleh, so the whole observance of the Shemitah is only mid the Rabbanah. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is quoted by the Beis Halevi as explaining why Shemitah, why did the Rambam say that Trumas and Maisis Bezman Hazeh is only the Rabbanah? So he says, because when you mafresh Shumas and Isis, it depends what year of the Shemitah cycle is it. If it's the first or the second year, then we know you mafresh Shumas Gedol Maisa Rish and Maisa Sheni. If it's the third year, you mafresh Maisa Oni instead of Maisa Sheni. Fourth and the fifth years are repeats of the first and the second years. Sixth year is a repeat of the third year. And then the seventh year, the Torah doesn't say anything, so you're not mafresh anything. So Shumas and Maisis is a function of which year the Shemitah cycle is it. So if the Rambam holds, that's what the Beis Halevi quotes, he was so proud of his son, my son Chaim the Rosh Yeshiva from Valosh. Beis Halevi was the Rabbi in Brisk at that time. There was a period of time he was a co-Rosh Yeshiva with the Netziv in Valosh. But later, towards the end of the Valosh Yeshiva lasted for 90 years. So towards the end, the Beis Halevi was no longer there. Rabbi Chaim was the Rosh Yeshiva, co-Rosh Yeshiva with the Netziv. And then they had, the government insisted that they should introduce so much secular study, they should lock the Beis Medrash at night. And they hardly learned anything all day long. They only learned 2 hours a day. So there was a big asifa, a big meeting to discuss whether they should keep Valojan open or not. Many rabbanim said, yeah, it's better to have a yeshiva where they only learn 2 hours a day rather than have no yeshiva at all. A little bit is better than nothing. And Rab Chaim held not so. Rab Chaim insisted that they should close Valojan. So even though he may not have been the majority, he didn't let them have a vote. All the Rabbanim came from all over Europe. Rosh Meir sent out the invitations and had a big meeting to discuss it. And Rabbi Chaim got up and he said, the Chafetz Chaim felt they should close Valojan. And he said, so Rabbi Chaim said, you make your suggestion, I'm going to second it, and that there isn't going to be any vote. That was the end of the story. There was no vote. And they were both there. They both closed the Valojan and Yeshivas. Anyway, so the Beis Halevi quotes this in his Shuvas, Mishem Bini Rab Chaim Rosh Yeshiva from Valojan, that's the Pshat in the Rambam. Why are Trumas and Maisis only the Rabbanim is Manazer? Because Trumas and Maisis are a function of which year of the Shemitah cycle it is. The Shemitah depends on Yovel, and Yovel needs Kol Yoshua Aleh. So we don't have any Kol Yoshua Aleh. If you look in the Rambam, it's problematic, because that's not exactly what it says in the Rambam. First of all, the Rambam didn't say Kol Yoshua Aleh. The Rambam said Bias Kulchem. The Bias Kulchem is against the Gemara. So he said the Rambam slipped up. Okay, a human being made a mistake. But then after the Rambam says he thinks that, I think he writes, Shumas and Maisav Hizbana says, the Rabbanon, if you read the Loshon of Rambam, it doesn't sound like what Rab Chaim said. The whole Loshon doesn't read straight. Anyway, so getting back again. So we assume, what were we talking about? if a person needs tevel, it's misa b'day shemayim. It's not as that it's not misa b'day shemayim, because we assume, for whatever reason, in Shulchan Aruch, they paskin like this Rambam, problematic Rambam. The Rambam says that Atrumas Ramaisis Bizman Azafilu Bimei Ezra was only the Rabbanon because of a lack of Bias Kulchem. It's problematic what he said. But he says it's only with the Rabbanon Bizman Azafilu. But if you have real devil, it is Misa B'dei Shemayim. Okay. And the same thing, let's say the Levi has Maisa Rishon, he's supposed to take out Maisa Mina Maisa and give it to the Kohen. I think the Din is also, he'll also be Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. If he doesn't take out the Maisa Mina Maisa, the Levi is going to eat up the whole Maisa Rishon that he has. I think the Din is also that he's Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. I think so. So again, so the Gemara says, in order to be Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim for eating Tevel, has to be after Miruach and Rias Pnei Abayis. Miruach means you separated the Oichel from the Psoilus, and Rashi says that you put it in a neat pile. You put it in a neat pile. That's what Rashi always writes. And Rias Pnei Abayis means he took it inside the house. Is it possible to be Mafrish Trumas and Maisris before Miruach and Rias Pnei Abayis? The Psoilus but the Oichel is all together. The Gemara said the Ferish, Hegdima Bishibolim. Everything is still attached. He didn't remove the psoldas from the Yochel yet. And nonetheless, the Gemara says in many places in Shas that it's possible to be Mafish to Mesamaisis, Hegdima Bishibolim. Hegdima means if he's Mafish to Mesarishim before the Truma Gedola. Normally, this is Seder. He's supposed to first be Mafish to Gedola, the Mesarishim, the Mesarsheni. That's based on a Pasuk in Parshas, Mishpatim Eleyoscha Vidimacha Losa Acher. You shouldn't reverse the Seder. Meleyoscha b'dimacha, Rashi quotes, Meleyoscha is bikurim, when the peres are becoming full, fully ripened. B'dimacha is truma. So first you're supposed to be mafrish bikurim, b'odim mechuba lakarka, and then after you detach it, you can't be mafrish shuma while it's still attached to the ground. Bikurim is chal, b'odim mechuba lakarka, even though bikurim is a din of truma. Bikurim and Chala and Truma and Maisa and Amaisa, but still Bikurim is Chal b'mechub l'karka. That's a Mishnah like that. Odom Yor v'Tel Sadeh is Mafrish to Bikurim, but Odom Mechub l'karka. So Melayoscha is referring to the Bikurim and the Macha is referring to the Maisa, to the Truma Gedoyla. So it says, Lo Se'achei, you should not reverse the Seder ha-hafroshes. If you do reverse it, it's Chal b'di'evit, but you did an Avera. The Gemara in the first Perek in Tmur, in the beginning of the first Perek in Tmur, has a discussion. He did the aver by hafrasha, by kriya shem, by dibur. Is that called alav sheim or ma'aseh ein loikem? All of them maybe even get malchus for violating m'leyoscha demacha lo isacher. Whenever Rabbi Soloveitchik would talk about this, he would always chuckle and say, "Oh, with the Ibn Ezra on the pasuk m'leyoscha demacha lo isacher." The Ibn Ezra calls every so often quotes one of the karoim who gave original interpretations in the psukim and the chumash. So he quotes this karoy. He says Malayoscha means when your wife has a big belly, she's pregnant. With demacha is the tipa shichva zera. You shouldn't postpone making your wife pregnant. So the Ibn Ezra makes fun of it. How could that be the pshat? It should say first demacha and then Malayoscha. She can't become pregnant until you first have the tashmish with her. That's out of order. So he says the correct pshat and the pasuk the Ibn Ezra says is according to the tradition of the Chazal and the Gemara. That Malayoscha refers to the Bikurim and the Macha refers to the Truma Gedoyla. And Mashana say the Ha-Hafrosha, says Oivla Balav, and the Gemara has a discussion with the Eloik. Now Pasha Mishpatim, the Ibn Ezra quotes a few times, other places also, from Karoin. So every time Rabbi Soloveitchik would chuckle when he would say over the Pshatim, Ki Gav Shorish Shorayehu, the Ibn Ezra quotes that Ben Buta, I think some Karoi, that Shorayehu means the shore killed its friend. If my shor kills a shor that belongs to a fellow Jew, but if my shor kills a shor shal nochrim, reyehu prat la nochrim and reyehu prat la hegdish. If you're mazik hegdish, you're not chayv, and a mazik is ha'akum is not chayv. That's how the Gemara understands reyehu. And this karoy interpreted reyehu, this shor is a friend of the other shor. So he, Ibn Ezra makes fun of him. Ein l'shor re'a ela ben buta belvad. The only friends, the shvorim don't have friends. The only friend he has is this karoi, he gave this pshat. The Ibn Ezra used to deal with karoi. So the Gemara said beferish that there is such a thing exists. Higdima b'shibonim. He was mishana the seder ha'afrosh. Why was he mishana the seder ha'afrosh? Rashi always says the levy came and he cooked the farmer the mafrish the maaserishin first. So if he would have first done the miruach and then be mishana the seder ha'afroshes, be mafrish the maaserishin before the shulam gedolah, then the farmer would have violated that law. It's supposed to, just like it's supposed to be mafrish bikurim first and truma next, he's supposed to be mafrish truma gedola first and then maaserishin next. If you mishana maaserishin before truma gedola, there'll be a law. Rashi says in a few places, since he did it bishibolim, so he wasn't yet mechuyev to be mafrish the truma. So strictly speaking, the law doesn't apply. The law only applies after miruach. But if it's before miruach, then you're not in violation of the law. So why is it in the interest, why is it in the best interest of the Levi to coax the balabayas that he should be mafrish the maaserishin first? Simply why? Because the farmer has 100 units of tvua, let's say. So he's got to be mafrish truma first. So how much do you give? We usually give 1/50th, echad mechamishin, 2%. So you're going to give 2% of the coin. So you have left it behind 98%. So for the 98 units, you're going to give 1/10 of that to the levy. So he gets 9.8. And then for the 9.8, he has to give 1/10 of that as maisa mana maisa. So the coin gets 0.98. The levy wants to get more. So he tells the balabayas, first be mafrish maisa rishon. So he's mafrish maisa rishon, so he gets 10 units. He doesn't get 9.8 units. And if he has tons and tons of tvua, that's a major difference between 10% or 9.8%. If you have millions of tons of tvua, then it's a big nafkamina. So that's why it's in the best interest of the lady. So the lady comes and it coaxes the balabais to be magdim, to be mafrish, the maiserishin, before being mafrish, the truma gedolah. So then the Gemara, and he tells the balabais, the lady is a learned person, tells the balabais, there's no avera. The avera only applies after miruach. Before miruach, there's no avera. And he's going to gain by that. He's going to get more. He's going to get more maaserishin. So what's the din that the Gemara learns out from the pasuk over here? Normally, you should have given truma gedola on the 100 units. You should give 2% on everything. And then you give maaserishin. You have left 98 units. You give 1/10 of what's left, 9.8 percentage of everything to the maaserishin. And then you mafrish from that, 0.98, from maisa and amaisa. So I already took out truma gedola on everything, and then I take out 0.98 from the maaserishin, that's maisa and amaisa. If you mafrish maaserishin first, you took out 10%, then the pasuk says, you should give maisa and amaisa amarti lach, v'lo trumas maisa, truma gedola and amaisa. If the levy convinced the farmer to be mafrish, higdimu b'shibolim, he was mishana the seid afroshes before he did miruach. So before you do miruach, if you mafrish the maaserishin, chiddush number one, it's chal. One could have argued the point, how is it chal? You can't be mafrish maaseris on gemoras, on svarim. Mafrish don't chal. You can't be mafrish on peris and chutzlords. So even in Eretz Yisrael, before miruach, how is it chal if it's not tevil? How come it's chal? That's a question. So the Rambam has an interesting idea in the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam says, if a person eats tevil before meruach, he's not chay mitzvah de shamayim, because it's achilas haroi. You're only chay van achilas tevil if you eat achilas keva. So whatever you eat before meruach is all labeled as achilas haroi, even if you eat a ton of it, even if you eat a ton and you're full for the next 5 days. It's all called achilas haroi because you ate it before miruach. And whatever you eat after miruach is all, even if you just have a little nibble, that's called achilas keva. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if you don't know that Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos, you don't understand such a strange phenomenon. There's basam b'cholav, there's rice, and then there's basam b'cholav and the rabbanon. Chicken and milk is basam b'cholav, the rabbanon. Or if it's kavush, the meat and the milk were not cooked together, just that you're eating it together at the same time. Or it's soaking in the milk. Soaking in the milk. So it's only the rabbanon. It's only basam b'chol of the rice if it's nizbashal yachad. So So we have Basa B'cholot D'Rabbanan, you have Treifis M'D'Rabbanan, Treifis Ma'atar, Treifis M'Rabbanan. Here you have Tevel M'D'Rabbanan. So the din is that Tevel before Meruach is only an Issa M'D'Rabbanan. So before Meruach and Rias M'Abayis, the Issa D'Rabbanan only is you're not allowed to eat at Achilas Keva. You eat at Achilas Haroi, then there is no Issa D'Rabbanan. What's called Achilas Keva? You eat a lot of it, that's called Achilas Keva. Or the Rambam quotes that there are six other things that are Kaveya. So Mekach is Kaveh, if you buy it from someone else. If you do Bishul, if you cook it, is Kaveh. Whatever you eat on Shabbos, Shabbos Kaveh. What else? Melach, if you salt it, is Kaveh. A whole bunch of things. Chotzer is Kaveh. A whole bunch of things that are Kaveh. It's all Midirabbanan. So why in the world did they make such a kakai din Midirabbanan? By Basa B'chol of the Rabbanan, you don't say it makes a difference. Achilas Kaveh, Achilas Haroi. Midirabbanan. Chicken and milk is also Midirabbanan. Even Achilas Haroi. And Treifist. There are situations where the animal is a treifa only with the Rabbanan. So it's also with the Rabbanan. You don't distinguish Achilas Kev, Achilas Arayim. Manish Tano over here. What prompted the Chachama, what motivated them to make such a strange din the Rabbanan that you're not allowed to eat Tevel, Achilas Arayim, before Miroch Saram? So Vechik explained with that Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah, you understand why. Because the Issa Deraisa is only if you eat at Achilas Keva. That's why there's a din Deraisa. If you eat Tevel before Miroch, there's no Issa Deraisa, only if you eat it after Miroch. Why? Because the Issa Tevel Deraisa is only if you eat it Achilas Keva. So Kol Deitikin Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikin. That was one of the recurrent themes in Rabbi Soloveitchik Shiur. That Kol Deitikin Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikin. I didn't realize it until after I published my Sefer Eretz HaTzvi. So one of the people used to come to my weekly Shiur in Queens, read the whole Sefer. He was older than me. And he had learned by Rav Soloveitchik in earlier years, and he read the whole Sefer and he understood it, and he told me that that's the recurrent theme of my Sefer. He's right. After thinking, I didn't realize it. Every other essay, I keep on going back because Rav Soloveitchik. That was a recurrent theme of Rav Soloveitchik Shurim. He showed that there's a system of halacha, and then all the din of the Rabbanan were called the Tikkun Rabbanan came to rise the Tikkun. We explain why, because the Rambam and Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah is printed in the back of Brochah. The Rambam writes that there are five parts to the Torah Shebaal Peh. And he says the last two parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh are the Gzeiros and the Takonos of the Rabbanan. So from the Rambam is very mashma that all the dinim the Rabbanan that the Chachamim introduced blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shebaal Peh min HaTorah. That when you learn dinim the Rabbanan, you mekayim Talmud Torah deraisa. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, I remember. He spent well over 10 years giving shiur my brachas by the Balabatim every Tuesday night in Manhattan. He used to give a shiur for Balabatim. So first it took him quite a few years. He learned all the brachas, then he learned a lot of Megillah, then he learned the other Mesichtas. And then it was too much for him, so he gave it up. So I remember after learning, spending so much time on brachas, so he once blurted out in the middle of a shiur, one can perhaps raise a question, why did I spend so much time on brachas? Much of brachas is only the Rabbanan. Part of it is the Raisa, but much of it is only the Rabbanan. And in Masech HaZvachim and Menachas, Ruba de Ruba is Dinim de Raisa, and here and there there's a Din de Rabbanan. So on the level of the Raisa, brachas is Bitl Torah. Most of brachas is Bitl Torah. Here and there, there's a din deraisa, but most of it is bitul Torah, so why did I give shiur ma'brachas? I could have given shiur ma'zvachim and menachas, but ruba de ruba is Talmud Torah deraisa. Why did I give ma'brachas? That's only Talmud Torah derabbanan. So he said, he doesn't think, they attribute that statement to Rav Velvel HaSoloveitchik. He thought that learning brachas is bitul Torah deraisa, it's only Talmud Torah derabbanan. That's what Rabban Leib Steinman quoted that from Rav Velvel HaSoloveitchik. He heard that from Rav Velvel. And he's surprised, he thought it wasn't correct. So that's Rav Soloveitchik said also. Same as Rabban Leib Steinman. He said he didn't think that's correct. From the Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik didn't mention the Rambam, I'm mentioning. From the Rambam and the Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayis that's printed in the back of Brochas, it sounds very much that he holds that all the din of the Rabbanan blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shebaal Peh min HaTorah, not just min the Rabbanan. So it's Talmud Torah deraisa. How can it be? But if the whole chiyuv to observe the mitzvah is only with the Rabbanan, the chavis hagabah to observe the mitzvah is only with the Rabbanan, so how can it be that it's a cheftz of Torah deraisa, that you mekayim Talmud Torah deraisa? So he said, why not? We say, Eilu v'eilu divili kimchayim on the machloikas between Meshama and Beisilu. What does it mean, Eilu v'eilu divili kimchayim? When you study Beshama Shita, it's not considered bitl Torah. You are yotze the mitzvah of Talmud Torah because it's divili kimchayim. Aye, but there's no chayvus agabra at all to follow Beis Shammai. You're not allowed to follow Beis Shammai. The Gemara said, Beis Shammai ben Mokam Mesil ain't a Mishnah. We had the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav. Even Mishas HaTchak, they have said, Merubah, you're not allowed to follow Beis Shammai Shita. And nonetheless, he say, since the Beis Shammai's opinions were based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpam, it blends in to become a chelik of the Torah Shabbal Peh. So Rav Soloveitchik said the same would appear, the same is true regarding Dinim the Rabbanon, where the Chavis HaGavra is only made the Rabbanon. There is no Chavis HaGavra men HaTorah to observe the Dinim the Rabbanon. But nonetheless, all the Dinim the Rabbanon blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shabbal Peh men HaTorah. So therefore, it's Dibre Lekim Chaim, that you are Mekayim Talmud Torah Deraisa when you learn Dinim the Rabbanon. So that's why Mistabit to say why is called the Tikkun Rabban. This is what I'm adding on. Why is called the Tikkun Rabban? Came there as a Tikkun. They wanted that all the Dinim the Rabban should blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shabbal Peh Minat Torah. So it's only if you institute the Dinim Rabban along the patterns of the Dinim Deraisa, along with the building blocks have to be concepts that exist on the level of Deraisa. So that's what the Rambam understood over here. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos on Trumas came to answer this question: why in the world, what Rav Soloveitchik is, why in the world did the Chachamim institute a din by Tevel that it's only before Meruach, it's only also if Yidir Achilos Keva, Yidir Achilos Avroi, it's okay. Why? By Basa B'cholot Rabbanon does make a difference, and Treifas the Rabbanon does make a difference. So why is by Tevel? Why is by Tevel? Why do they make only for Yidir Achilos Keva? So the Rambam comes to explain. Because on the level of their Isa, that's the nature of the Isa. The reason why it's only Isa after Miruch and Yisra and Abayis, whatever you eat after Miruch is called Achilas Keva. Whatever you eat before is only called Achilas Arad. So if you adapt the Rambam's position, it's not that before you do Miruch, the stuff is not Tevel. The minute it grows from the ground and you detach it, everything is Tevel. Before Miruch, it's Tevel. But there's no way, it's impossible for you to violate the Isa Tevel. Because Tevel is only Asav Achilas Keva. Whatever you eat before, even if you eat a ton of it, it's called Achilas Arroy. And after Miruach, it's possible to eat an Achilas Keva. But it's not that before Miruach it isn't Tevel, it is Tevel. So then, according to the Rambam, we understand very well why Higdimo Bishibolim, why if you mafresh the Trumas and Maises before you did the Miruach, why is it Chal? Because it is Tevel. It can't be, there's no Hafrasha if it's not Tevel. The answer is it is Tevel, but you have no way to violate the Yisra Achilas Tevel. Because the only time you violate the Yisra Achilas Tevel is if you eat an Achilas Keva. The Raivid doesn't agree with the Rambam. The Raivid holds in another place. Here he doesn't say. The Raivid Hilchas Chala. The Raivid disagrees with the Rambam. He says, if you're mafrish, there are two kinds of hafrasha. If you're mafrish b'shibolim, then the Raivid holds the hafrasha is chal, and it prevents it from becoming Tevel. It's not that it's Tevel already. It prevents it from becoming Tevel. And if you wait till after Miruach and Rias Pnei Abayis, then the Hafrasha removes the Yisra Tevel. If you mafrish it before, it prevents the Yisra Tevel from setting in. The Rabbi speaks about Chala like that, Hafrasha is Chala. That after Nesina Samayim, just like by Trumas and Maisras, Kol Zmanas Mechubel HaKarka, it can't be mafrish, even if you try. After you detach it from the ground, there's a possibility to be mafrish. Higdima b'shibolim, you can be mafrish b'shibolim, but you're not mechuyev to be mafrish till after you do the miruach and the riz ben abayis. So the three stages exist by challah as well. If you have a sack of flour and you're mafrish challah, so the Mishnah says, "Hamafrish challah se kemach lo yosav lo klum." You mafrish chal in the stage of flour, it's not chal at all. If you didn't sin as hamayim, you put it in the water, but you didn't mix the flour with the water, you didn't make it into a dough yet. So then the Gemara says, once you didn't sin as hamayim, it's possible to be mafrish, but you're not mechuyev to be mafrish. And if you lead it at that time before being mafrish chal, you won't be chay misvidei shamayim. But if you ate, wait till after the gilgal or the timtum, the gilgal bechitim and the timtum b'soir, after you made a whole dough out of it, so then if you leave it, then you'll be chayiv misa b'deshamayim. So the Raivid understands, if you mafri after nesina samayim, the hafrosh is chal, it prevents the yisid tevel from setting in. Not that it's already tevel. The Rambam will probably hold it's already tevel. The Rambam seems to hold, there ain't no such thing as hafrosh is trumas samayim, unless the food is tevel. That's the first type of nesina tevel. So it has an nesina tevel even before miruach. Otherwise the hafrosh is chal. So if it has an Issur Teva, how come there's no Issur B'dei Shamayim? How come there's no Issur Deraisa to eat it? So the Rambam answers, because whatever you eat before Miruach is by definition labeled as Achilas Haroi. And the Issur Deraisa of eating Teva is only if you eat Achilas Keva. If you eat Achilas Haroi, there is no Issur Deraisa. And the Din Derabban is called the Tikkun Rabban, okay, and Deraisa Tikkun. The Shabbos Kavas, and Melech is Kaveh, Mekech is Kaveh, Bishul is Kaveh, all those dinim. Because on the level of the Raisa, that's the getter of the Issa. The only time it's also to eat the Tevel is Achilas Keva. So there, and the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid holds no. There are two kinds of Afroshas Chala. If you, after Nesinas Amayim, if you Mafresh Chala, that prevents it from becoming Tevel. But you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah of Afroshas Chala. The Ravid holds, if you wait till after Gilgul, after Timtum, after he made a whole dough out of it, not just Nesinas Amayim, so then you become a mitzvah b'shas hafrosha. But if you mafrish after nesinas amayim, before the Gilgal, before it really turns into a whole dough, you shouldn't say a brocha. You're not mekayim a mitzvah. The hafrosha is chal to prevent it from becoming tevel. Wow. The Rambam says, no, it's a lechatchila. It's a lechatchila. The Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi. It's a mitzvah lechatchila to be mafrish chala after nesinas amayim, before you make the Gilgal, before you make it into a whole big dough. The rabbi says, why should it be a, that's a Yerushalmi. The rabbi says, why should it be a mitzvah lechatchila? It's chal. You prevent it from becoming a tevel. You don't say a bracha. You only say a bracha when it's a mitzvah to be mafresh. Mitzvah to be mafresh only after it already became tevel. So that seems to be a fundamental machlekes. The Rambam and the rabbi, what is the nature of this din? That if you're mafresh, bishibolim, if you're mafresh, shumas amayis bishibolim, hafrosh is chal. The Rambam holds that it already is tevel. From the very outside is tevel, but there's no way to violate the Issur on the level of the Raisa. There's no way to violate the Issur tevel unless you eat it achilas keva, and whatever you eat before meruach is by definition labeled as achilas haroi. And the Rabbi disagrees; it doesn't have a shame tevel at all. So Nachum also, what was the mechudish dekedin that the Gemara says? If I convince the farmer to be mafrish the ma'aserishin first, then all I have to take from Adam the Levi, I convinced them because I stand to gain. I'm going to get 10% of everything, not just 9.8%. I'm going to get 10% of everything. So the Rambam says, if Higdima Bishibalim, if the farmer was Mafresh the Maiserishan before the Truma Gedoyla, so then the Levi is only mechuyev to be mafresh ma'isa min ha'ma'isa, but he's allowed to eat what's left over. All the leftover ma'isirishan is mutu for the Levi to eat, but and he's not mechuyev to be mafresh truma gedola on this. As long as he's mafresh ma'isa min ha'ma'isa ma'ati lecha v'lo truma's ma'isa, you're not mechuyev to be mafresh truma on this. A mechudish dekedin. Then the Gemara explains it's only if Higdim b'Bishibolim. If Higdim b'Bikri, if he waits till after to make Miruach, and then Espen Abayis, and then he's Mafrish out of order, then you have to be Mafrish both, then you have to take out, even from the 10% that you gave to the Levi, or Mafrish Maiserishan first and Truma Gedolah later, so you're going to give the Levi 10%. So the Levi is only Mechuyiv to be Mafrish Maiser Min HaMaiser. He's not Mechuyiv to be Mafrish Truma Gedolah also. So that's what the Gemara distinguishes between Hegdim of Bishibolim and Hegdim of Bikri. So that these are important dinim. Yeah. Then the Gemara had discussions about the Kusim. The Kusim is Mitztarif to the Zima. The Kusim was a story that began in the days of the Tanakh. In Sefer Melachim it's described that there was a group of non-Jews who were moved to Eretz Yisrael. And they worshipped some Avodah Zarah religion. And then they were attacked by lions in Eretz Yisrael, and they couldn't understand why. And then they came to the realization, came to the conclusion, that it must be the God of the Jewish people is the God Balabas in Eretz Yisrael. So we better officially convert to Judaism. So it says that they converted, but as Elohim Hayu Ovdim, they continued to worship the Avodah Zarah. So there never was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So that's called Geri Arayis. They became Geri and they converted because of the lions, the Arayis. So Geri Arayis, the Geris, the Gemara seems to say the Geris is not Chal at all because they never accepted a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. So that was in the days of the Tanakh. But then in the days of the Tanoim, that was many centuries later, the days of the Tanoim, they see the Kusim are observant, they're very observant. Any din that says in the Chumash, many of them have been Yosem Yisrael. The Kusim will be more meticulous in observing the din in their eyes. But whatever is only the Rabbanon at the Drash of Torah Shabbat Peh, so the Kusim didn't accept the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Tanoim are trying to figure out, but we know that the Kusim initially, their conversion was not a valid conversion. The whole thing was only, it was a fraud, it was a fake conversion that satisfied the lions. The lions stopped attacking them after they converted. But it was Geri Arayz, they only converted because of the pachad of the lions, but they never won the Kabbal all mitzvahs. They continued to worship over the Zohar. So the Tanoim had a shaila, where did it come from? Why are the Kusim observing some of the dinim now? Many of the dinim. So some said they just picked that up from osmosis, but the Kusma really gave rabbis. The only one and only conversion they had was the days of the Tanakh, and they still continued to worship Abu Zara after they converted. So the whole Geris was not valid. You have a Geris without Kabbalah and Mitzvahs is worthless. They mentioned that some Israeli professor put out a book around 20 years ago that the whole need for Kabbalah and Mitzvahs in conversion was a Chiddush of the Sholem Eishiv in the 1850s in Galitzia. Ridiculous. It's the premise of what Geiris is all about. Everything else is an addition, but the essence of Geiris is Kabbalah all mitzvahs. Kabbalah, he has to believe in the Ikori Hamun, and he has to commit himself to observe all the mitzvahs. It has nothing to do with the Sholem Eishiv. I don't know, what did he think the Sholem Eishiv came up with? Everybody agrees to that. If you have a Goy who converts and he doesn't accept all the mitzvahs, he remains a Goy. The conversion was a fraud. It never took place. So, half of the Tanaim were of the opinion Kusim Geri Arayz. The one and only conversion I went through was what was described in Tanakh, and that was Bishaita, not valid, because there was no Kabbalah on Mitzvah. It says, Aleim Hayu Ovdim, still continue to worship Abba Lizor. So the Kusim Agoyim Gemur. You can't be Mitzarifim to Minyan, you can't be Mitzarifim to a Mizuman. They're not Jewish. The other opinion is, no, it doesn't make sense. The other opinion is no. What they only picked it up by osmosis, no. But the some harbim mitakten gvo yesem Yisrael, they're more observant and more conscientious than the FFBs and the Jewish people are regarding the observance of the dinim that appear in Chumash. It must be that there was a second geirus, and that second geirus was taka with a commitment to observe all of the mitzvahs. So there's some. Therefore, we should assume the kusim ageriyemis. So that's a machlekes hatanaim where the kusim get. The kusim is banazed. The kusim in the days of Tanakh were clearly geri arayis. They only converted because of the pachad from the lions, and that's not a valid geris at all. Other gemara say geri arayis are gerin b'di'evin. So Tosfos says it's a stira. Here the gemara uses the expression geri arayis. If you would hold the kusim, a geri arayis means that they're going gemurim. The other Gemara says, Geri Arayis is a good Geris. B'di'evin, Geri Arayis is good. So Tosis in a few Masechtas explains, there's no contradiction. If you're being harassed by lions in Eretz Yisrael and you convert, so if you really commit yourself to observe the mitzvahs, the thing that motivated me to convert, because I don't want to lose my life. I'm afraid the lions are going to kill me unless I convert. But then I convert and I commit myself to observe all the mitzvahs, and then the Geris is good. But if the person just converts because he doesn't want the lions to attack him, and he holds the whole thing is a joke, he doesn't plan at all to observe any of the mitzvahs. He just fools the rabbis, or the rabbis allow themselves to be fooled. They're not fooled. They know that this character is not going to observe anything. But for money, they'll do anything. So they'll give him a certificate that they converted him also. So that's a different kind of Geri Arayis. If the person converts because of the pachad of the lions and he never intends to accept all mitzvahs, that Geri Arayis means that it's a goy gomer. But if he the pachad hu arayis, he converts, and then he observes all the din hatar. If he converts, he observes everything, even though the motivation was not l'shem shemayim, he was only motivated to convert because of the pachad from the lions, the motivation is not miyake b'di'evit, just like motivation for shmiras and mitzvahs. You should always do mitzvahs even if you're not religiously motivated. You have some other motivation to do the mitzvah. So you should still perform all the mitzvah, because mitel shalal lishma b'al lishma. It can't be that the guy's always going to be thinking all day long is in the base medrash, all day long is thinking shalal lishma. In the course of the day, he'll probably have two or three minutes here, there, and the other place where he will be thinking l'shem shemayim. He's just learning Torah in order to know what the Ribbono Shel Olam told us. Yeah. So that was a machlokes in the days of the Tanaim, where the Kusim Geri Emes Kusim Geri Arayis. Then the Gemara tells in the beginning of Chulin, Rab Meir was Goizer ala Kusim sheyihiyu ke'akum l'chol divrem. Rab Meir sent some of his Talmidim to spy on the Kusim, and what they discovered was that they were offering korbanos l'avod zarah on Har Gerizim. So because Rameyah, Lishitas, Rameyah Chayish Lemiyuta, this is only a miyut of the Kusim. His Talmidim caught the Kusim and worshipping over his arm. So because a miyut of the Kusim of worshipping over his arm, Rameyah is Chayish Lemiyuta, so he declared all the Kusim in the world, even those he doesn't know anything about at all the Kusim should be din and ka'akam l'chol divrem. So that's the Gemara says like that. Rameyah was Geizah that the Kusim should have the din of akum. What do you mean have a din of akum? I can use him as a Shabbos guy. I can sell the chometz to the kusim. I'm a barber. I can give him a haircut and cut off his payas. What do you mean he was goyzer? Maybe he was goyzer kshayir din akum only lechumra, like a mumer, like a Israel mumer. If he shech shchitos and avela, mumer she shachat shchitos and avela. Mumer means either one who violated roiv dini hatorah. From all the Taryag mitzvahs, he violates rov of the din HaTorah that he's aware of. That's one major nafkamina. And the Gemara has another two nafkaminas. The Gemara has another two people who are mumma din akak. One is mumma l'avod zarah, even though he observes all the other mitzvahs. He wears tzitzis and tefillin and everything. But he worships avod zarah also. So mumma l'avod zarah is din akakum, even though he observes everything. The main din of mumma l'rov dini haTorah. There are so many mitzvahs, and the rov of the mitzvahs that he's aware of, he violates. So mumma l'rov dini haTorah is dini kakmi. That's what the Prima Gaudim says. That's the elementary, that's the first step. We're always used to the Gemara's that skip the first step. The Gemara never spells that out. That the mumma l'rov dini haTorah is mumma dini kakmi. So the Prima Gaudim says that's self-understood, that's elementary. That what the Gemara's talking about, the icing on top of the cake. What if the guy's only a mumal of Dovrecha, but the Dovrecha is a major issue, he's a mumal of Adizara. So the Gemara says, okay, mumal of Adizara is dina ka'akum l'chala tarakula. And then the third thing is mumal l'chal Shabbos b'fahesya is also dina ka'akum l'chala tarakula. So that's the shayla when they declared that the kusim should be dina l'zazam m'sham ha'shatsam ka'akum gemurim l'chol divrehim. Does that only mean l'chumra or even l'kula? Let's say the kusi will die. So may say akum we paska may say akum only mitami b'magam and masam na mitami b'oha. May say Israel atem kriim odom einu mesolim kriim odom. The may say Israel amitami even b'oha. So what if the kusi dies? He said mamish dina kakum. He's not mitami b'oha. He say no. Of course he's mitami b'oha. He's Jewish. We say kusim ageri arayis that the geiris was chal. The geiris was chal, but. But mumah sheshachat shchitas anevela, that's what it means. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. They quote that's a machlekes of Rishonim. And the Rambam holds that after Rameh made the gzera that the kusim should have the din, like dinikakam the chalatar kula. So he says now the kusim who die are no longer metami ba'ohel. The Rambam learns literally mamish that gozer aleim lios kakam mamish. How is that possible? You take a Jew and the Bezdin declares that he's a non-Jew, but I can sell a chametz to him. That's ridiculous. How can you take... We always assume once a Jew, always a Jew. So apparently not everybody agrees once a Jew, always a Jew. Yeah, where is there a mocker for this? So that's what the Sri Deyesh has a fascinating tshuva. He says the mocker is... The mocker is the Gemara, the end of the first perek in Yevamos, where the Gemara has a discussion. The lost 10 tribes disappeared. So they assimilated, they married into Umasoilum. So the Gemara has one opinion, the end of the first Perek and Yevamos, the last Amud Beis in the first Perek and Yevamos, Nachash Kiddushishu Bezman Hazeh Choshishim LeKiddushin Shema Me'aseres HaShvatim Hu. A Nachri is Mekadosh Anisha Bezman Hazeh. Maybe he's really Jewish. Maybe his mother's mother all the way back till the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni. Maybe there were so many Jews who were assimilated. So it's still, they're still Jewish. It's all off of Pishachata Yisrael, though they're still Jewish. So the Nachri is Kiddushishu, it's always a Safi Kiddushin. The Gemara said, well, we don't pass them like that. Why? Because the Pasuk in Triyasa says, Bashem Bagadu, Kibonim Zorim Yolodu. Because they totally assimilated among the non-Jews. And they married non-Jewish wives, and they raised non-Jewish families. So the Navi declares as a Chiddush that those Shvatim who intermarried and assimilated by the Goyim, the lost 10 tribes, Adina Kakam. They don't have a din like a Jew. So that's a question. That was a Hirah Shoah. When the Nevi'im said, Bashem Bagadu, Kiborim Zorim Yoladu, that was a Hirah Shoah only with respect to the Golos Aseres HaShvatim. Or does it apply to any group of people who float away so far away from mainstream Judaism that the Beis Din feels obligated to declare that these people are non-Jews? So that's many Rishonim say it wasn't the Hiroshua Chad Pamit with respect only to the Aseres HaShvatim. It applies even to the Kusim. If you have a whole group who float away from mainstream Judaism, they do everything so differently from everybody else, then also the Pasuk implies that they lose their Kedusha Sisera. And then there's a further machlok. Even if one should assume that it applies to the Kusim as well, not just to the Aseres HaShvatim, so would you say that it applies even if there's an individual Jew who converted to Christianity? It applies even to an individual person who converted away and he doesn't want to have any continued shaykhus with the Jewish nation? There were, in the days of the Goyim, there were a significant percentage of the Goyim were of the opinion that a Jew who converted to another religion but still goes to church all the time, and he still maintains his Goyish name, and he still thinks like a Jew. So there are some Gaonim who are of the opinion that a Jew who converts loses his status of a Jew. You can use him as the Shabbos Goy, and you can use him to sell a chametz to him. So again, so the Mishnah is assuming that Kusim, the Mishnah says Kusim Mizamnim Alem, it can't be Mizam. Mishnah is assuming that Kusim Ageri Emes, that Shuvn is Gairu B'Leib Shalem, like Tosfos says the Loshon, through the original conversion that the Kusim had in the days of Tanakh was not meaningful at all, because they continued the Salaim HaYuavn, they still continued to worship Avodah. There never was a Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. But we assume that Shuvn is Gar B'Leib Shalom, and today they don't observe, but they're Jewish and they're not observed. So that was the premise over here. But nonetheless, the Kusim should have been treated as an Am Haaretz. You shouldn't be allowed to mitzarf them to the Minyan, mitzarf them to the Mizum. So that's what Taisa says. That's in Chagiga, Perek Sheni, Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, that the Gemara says, we paskan like the Kanan, Keman B'Kablin Hu'idin Sadusa Me'am Haaretz. Whose opinion is it that we follow? That we allow a Kusi to give testimony on Evechudam and Bisurim and on the Dinimamins and on Dovish of Yerba. How can we allow testimony? So the Taptaisis on Mamzayim and Beis quotes the Gemara Chagigim. Come on, Rabbi Yossi said, you better not make such a din that you can't be Mekabal Eidus from a Kusi, and you can't be Mitzarf a Kusi to a Mizum, and you can't be Mitzarf to a Minyan. You're going to be merachik to Kusi. He's going to be herlech abayne b'mali atzmo. He's going to make his own, found his own religion. So that'll be a disaster. So you better not do that. So therefore, we do allow them. We allow them to be mitzarf them to the minyan, mitzarf them to the search for the chalozin and so on. So that's an important topic, the topic of the kusim. Then the Gemara has in the end of the period of the Baishen, the institution of Am Haaretz. What's an Am Haaretz? So the Gemara has different opinions from the Tanoim. What's the din of the Am Haaretz? So the Am Haaretz is treated, we consider him as if he's always a Zav. Because man is an Am Haaretz, we consider that he's always a Zav. And we don't trust him on Trumas. We don't trust him on Afrasha's Truma.
Doesn't the Tato also say that we only count on Am Haaretz,
say
anything about a
kusi
nowadays?
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah. The kusi, the Gemara asked, how can you be a tzar for kusi? Isn't he an Amharitz? Lo yehel Amharitz. We're talking about a kusi chaver.
Right. Now that we're
yeah, if the Rebbe is gzeri, you cannot be a tzar for the kusi. That is correct. After the gzera that you treat him like akum, this whole gemara is only kodem gzera. The mishnah is kodem gzera. Mishnah says you can be mitzar for kusi. It's kodem gzera's Reb Meir. After Reb Meir's gzera is mamish dina ka'akum, at least lechumre, according to the Rama, even lekula. That is correct. Yes. Yeah, the Chasam Sofer had a famous comment on the gemara. Says you can be mitzar for am oritz to the mezumen. You can be mekabeleitis and some. The reason why. We don't want to be merachik them too much. He'll break away, make his own shul, make his own religion, and he'll get a lot of people to worship his religion. So the Chasam Sofer said that the Reform already made their own seminary during his lifetime, and they already made their own rabbinical organization. They made their own movement. They broke away from the Orthodox. So he said, the Reform Jews have the din like the kusim, and you don't have the kula of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, we better be mekabelaters, we better be mitzarf them to a minyan or to a mezumen, because shaloi hekalech ve'echa halach banim b'amali atzmo. So now they already were banim b'amali, so that's a consideration we have. We don't want that to happen. So that's why we should be mekarev them. We should let them give our God's edus. We should be mitzarf them to a mezumah. But b'zmanu said they already were by the b'mali atzma. So he says, now you can't be mitzarf them to a mezumah, you can't be mitzarf a reform Jew to a minyan. Well, most people do not follow that Chasam Sofer. Baruch Hashem, most people don't know that Chasam Sofer. But he got it straight from that Gemara. Yeah. So Gemara has different opinion what is in our hearts. Yeah, we said over the Chazoy Nochum, on Chazon Nochum lived, I think, in the 1500s. He was a Sfardi who lived, at that time there were only Sfardim in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was wondering, how come nobody goes to Daven on the Har Habayis? If you have a Tumah Yotzei L'Megufo, you can't go into the Har Habayis. So everybody's Tumei Meis. When the Teretz Mut and the whole Har Habayis, when the Rabban and it's also for the Tumei Meis to enter the inner parts of the Har Habayis. But when the Teretz, there are no inner parts, outer parts. The whole Har Habayis has one status. And the Tumah Meis is a Tumas Magas, not a Tumah Yotzei L'Megufoy. But only one who has a Tumah Yotzei L'Megufoy is not permitted to enter into the Har Habayis. So B'zmanu Zeh, let's say all the married men have a Tumas Balkeri. You can go to the Mikveh and you're not a Balkeri anymore. Is it maybe a person is a Zav? He would have known if he's a Zav. He would have gone to a doctor already. He's going to have things oozing out of his body all the time. He's not a mitzvah, even if he has negatzara, he's not a mitzvah by definition. Kol's man koin doesn't declare that you're a mitzvah, so you don't have tumas tzarah. He's not a yaletis, he's not a zaba, he's not a nida, that's only for females. So he doesn't have a tumah yotzei megufa. The only tumah yotzei megufa that he has is a tumas balkeri, so let him go to the mikvah, he'll be able to go into the har bayis. So he doesn't understand. Rabbi Gorin Zeinfeld is so obvious and so elementary. How come nobody does it? That's what the Chazon Nochum is. How come nobody does it? That was in the 15th. How come nobody goes to the mikvah and goes down on the Har Habayis? So he said there must be a reason. That's clearly the meaning. It must have been a reason. So he comes up with this wild explanation. He thinks that everybody has a din of Am Haaretz. Why? Because there are different opinions. Ezeu Am Haaretz. So one opinion is the Am Haaretz is the one who's not nizer about Tum V'Tara. One is not careful about Tumah V'Tar. So none of us are careful about Tumah V'Tar, but it doesn't mean that we violate anything. We didn't do any aver. So the Chazon Nochum explains, even if you're not violating anything, if you're not careful about Tumah V'Tar, then according to one Tana, you have the status of of Amharit. So he says everybody today has the status of Amharit. And Amharit goes to Dina Kizav. So therefore, even if you go to the mikveh, you have to come out of the mikveh, he's still a Zav. He's still an Amharit. He didn't become more religious by going to the mikveh. So he says you still have the Tumah Kizav. So that's why you're not allowed to go into the Harbais. How do I know? I don't sit and read the Chazon Nochem. How do I know the Chazon Nochem? Because Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva where he writes about why don't we go on the Harbais Bizman. So he quotes the Chazon Nochem, he quotes it. The Minchas Yitzchak has the exact same tshuva, blow by blow explanation. Why? It's the same as Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. But he can't quote Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank because he was from the Rabbanut. So the Rabbanut is puzzled. The Minchas Yitzchak died wise with Eda Charedes. So Kozman, he was in Manchester. He was a reasonable mako. Once they took him to Eda Charedes, had to be machman everything. Had to write everything differently. And the early tshuvas, he wasn't so anti Medina and anti everything as lechumer. Yeah. And the later tshuvas is very machman. After he came to the Eda Haredes, then they asked Eda Haredes, how can you take dying wise as a dying? He's makel a lot of times. So they said, we'll educate him. We'll straighten him out. So they straightened him out. So the later tshuvas, yeah, have a lot. Rabbi Hirschsprung, Zechon Lebrach, used to be in Montreal. So he used to tell over a story. He used to tell over a story in Europe. Once the butcher had a Shaila Pilchas Treifus. And he showed it to the Rav. So the Rav took out the Yavadeya and he looked in Hilchas Treifus. And he's mishing. And he says, he's sorry to tell him it's a Treifa. So the Balabos got angry at the Rabbi. He says, I know, I saw, when you took the Yavadeya, you looked on the page that says Hilchas Treifus. Because you knew in advance you wanted to, why don't you look on the page that says Hilchas Kashrus? Then you would have found that it's Kasher. You don't like me. That's why you wanted to ask him. So Rabbi Hirschsprung said that sometimes you have to look in Hilchas Kashrus. We don't always have to look in Hilchas Treifus. You don't always have to be machmer at everything. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Anyway, so this is what the Chazon Nochem says. It's very difficult. Everybody has a din of Amoritz. Because Menat Nizah and Tumah Retar, the whole thing is questionable. And then Amoritz is Dinah Kizav. Means if someone touches Amoritz, he's tummy. But it means the Amoritz is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash because the Amoritz always entered the Beis HaMikdash. It's Dinah Kizav if he touches a Chaver. The Chaver has to act as if he was Mekabel Tumah from the Amoritz. But it's not that the Amoritz has a din Dinah Kizav, he's not allowed to enter. The Goyim also have a din Dinah Kizav. They made a din with the Rabbanan that Akram is Metame like a Zav because they were concerned that they're going to get the Jewish children to participate in Mishkav Zachar with them. So if the parents would tell the children that the Goy is a Zav, so the children don't want to become Tameh. So Shain said that was the end of it. So the children will never touch the Goy, and they never get involved with the Tumah Zivah. So a Goy is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. It's not true. The Goy used to enter the Beis HaMikdash. They still have the sign in the Harabais. They have the sign in written in Greek, I think, that any non-Jew who enters past this point is going to be put to death. Why did the rabbis make such a din? Why do they want to put them to death? It's Menatarius Mutter. Why do they make such a din in the Rabbanan? I don't know. But they still have the sign there in Greek. Anyway, this is the famous sugi. Ezehu am ha'oret. Then the Gemara says, Maisusheni v'hegde shaloi nivdu, and you eat the Maisusheni chutz liYerushalayim. So then it's treif. If you eat the Maisusheni in Yerushalayim, fine, you're mitzarf to a zimun. But if you eat the Maisusheni bread chutz liYerushalayim, then you didn't eat it. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Maisusheni v'hegde shaloi hegde shenivde is yotzei l'chum. You're allowed to eat it. Hegde shaloi nivde is hegde shen. You're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, Pshita, what does it say in the Mishnah? Maisusheni v'hegde shaloi nivdu. Then you're eating treif of food, you're not mitzarf to a zimun. Pshita. Mar says, no, it means niftu v'lo niftu kihil chasam. What does it mean? So Maisusheni is one of the three cases that Shavu Kesev is not kikesev. So you can't be podal gabi asimon. You can only be podal gabi kesev mamash. And kesev means that it's recognized by the din of the machusa as legal tender. And if the Rambam writes, and if it's a pirate government, it's not a legal government, and they're minting coins, and they're just a bunch of gangsters, then it's not, It's not. It's only called kesef if it's recognized by the government. That's by those who claim that the Zionist government in Eretz Yisrael is a bunch of pirates. So they're consistent. So they won't use Israeli coins to be paid in Ma'aser Sheni. But all the Gedolim in the Tzaddik and Rabbi Pesach Frank was in the Rabbanut. They used the Israeli coins. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Reibach used Rabbi Al Yashav. They all used Israeli coins to be paid. So obviously none of them agreed with the loonies in Ada and the Turi Karta that the government is a bunch of pirates. The Shiva Bachim think that it's cutesy shtick to say the government is a bunch of pirates. You ask him, do you use Israeli coins to pay the Ma'aser Sheni? Of course they do. So you say that it's not pirates. If they're pirates, you can't use their money. The money is Shavu Kesef. It's only Kesef if it's red. That's the Shach. And the Rambam is beferish like that. Only has a din of Kesef. It's recognized by the government, by the din of the Machusa, as legal tender that you have to accept it for payment of all debts.
And Bar Kokhba rebellion?
That's a good question. At the time of Bar Kokhba, he declared himself as the king for a couple of years of his minting coins. Yeah, and they were using the coins to be paid in Ma'aser Sheni. And in history, it went down as the attempted rebellion of Bar Kokhba, and they don't consider that it wasn't a successful rebellion. So looking back in retrospect, there's a shaila when the Tanoim, when Rabbi Akiva was probably using Bar Kokhba coins to be paid in Ma'aser Sheni, was the Ma'aser Sheni taka nifta? Or do we say, no, looking back in retrospect, his was not a government. It was an attempt at establishing a government by rebelling against the government, and the attempt failed, so it never got off the ground. So that's a shaila. Maybe that's not considered kesef. That's a serious question. Anyway, so Ma'aser Sheni can only be paid, that's one of the three dinim, that shavu kesef is lucky kesef. Ma'aser Sheni, that's for sure din deraisa. Tzarta kesef, kesef sheish olav tzura. That's a din deraisa. The second din is Machza Shekel, you don't allow Shavu Kesef. So Rav Moshe writes in his Chuvas that in his Chibra on Yerushalmi, on Masech Shkalim, he discussed the two Girsas in Yerushalmi, whether that's a Din Deraisa or a Din Derabbanan, that you can't give Machza Shekel if you give Shavu Kesef. And Rav Moshe writes, he was Mevara in his Chibra on Yerushalmi Shkalim, that that's a Din Deraisa as well. And the third Din is only a Din Derabbanan. The third Din is that when you purchase Oilas Riyam Pesach Shavu Sukkos, you have to buy with kesef as opposed to shavu kesef, that for sure is only a din derabbanan. Because he may set aside shavu kesef, and that's enough at the time he's designated, the time he sets it aside, that's enough to purchase a behemoth. Then the value of the behemoth is going to go up, or the value of the commodity is going to go down. Now won't be enough to buy the behemoth with it. So the Gemara says, we don't allow you. You cannot buy oilas riyah with shavu kesef. You have to buy dafke with kesef. So that for sure is only the Rabban. Yeah. What about Pinyan Hegdash? Pinyan Hegdash, he can be paid there with Shavu Kesef, but you just can't be paid there with Karka Avodah Mishtaris. So that's because it's a Klal Prat. The Klal, that's my mind. Karka Avodah Mishtaris. Has to be Dov HaMitalta B'Gufa Mamet. So the Gemara says, but if it's Pinyan Hegdash, Yechila Lo Gavi Karka, and if it's Pinyan Ma'aser Sheni, so if you use Da Simon, it's not kesef sheyesh olav tzura, so that's not acceptable. So the Gemara says, if you ate hegdish and ma'aser sheni shenivdu v'lo nivdu kehilchasam, so then you ate a chutz l'Yerushalayim, so the yisur is still there, so it's treif, and there's no zimun. So the Ragachover raised the question, why is it called nivdu v'lo nivdu kehilchasam? It's lo nivdu. Why does the Gemara call it nivdu? So he says a chiddush. The question is he right or not? A highly, very, very questionable. I would have not thought that it's correct at all. He's a fantastic book. It's hard to disagree with the Rabbi Chok. So he has a fantastic chiddush. He says, when you pay the hegdash, you pay the ma'aser sheni, it's a kinyan kesef, so it belongs to you. So the kinyan kesef does take place. When you pay the ma'aser sheni ba simon, the Ma'aser Sheni belongs to me, because I gave Asimon. But the Kedushas Ma'aser Sheni doesn't go off of the Peiros. So I have to do a second pinyon. But after you do this, let's say someone else does the second pinyon. Reuben did the first pinyon, Agabi Asimon. Shimon does the second pinyon, Agabi and Batbei, Akesem Sheish Olav Tzura. So who walks off with the Ma'aser Sheni? The first one who did the pinyon, Agabi Asimon, or the second one? So the Rav Gachabi says the first one bought it. The first one bought it with the asimon, so shavi kesef is good, so it belongs to him. He just didn't succeed in removing the kedusha, so that's why he needed a second pidyon, agabi kesef sheish al tzura, to remove the kedusha. But the mamonah's transaction took place with the first one. He says the same thing if he paid the hegdish bekar kavana mishtaris. So what's not chal? He says the pidyon is chal, the purchasing of the hegdish. Let's say somebody was magdish a refrigerator. So I was paid there by giving a piece of karka. Karka avodah mishtaris, so I gave something. And then Hegdish says, you didn't succeed in being paid there because you gave karka avodah mishtaris. So then someone else gives $200 for the used refrigerator, and then he's paid them. So now the refrigerator is yotze lechulin because the other guy gave money. So who does the refrigerator belong to? Does it belong to the first guy who gave the shtaris in the avodah, or does it belong to the second guy? So the regular trouble is at the Hegdish, it goes to the first guy. I would have thought it's 100% not correct. Whoever succeeds in removing the kedusha, his pidyon is chal, his kinyon is chal. The first time I would have thought it's not chal. I would have said like that, the pashtus is like that. This loshen agamar. Why the gemara says shit podo, shit nifdu, loy nifdu ki hilchosam. Why is it nifdu? It's loy nifdu. So I would have said he went through the actions of Niftu, but it's not valid. It's a zero. There's no pidyon. He says no. The pidyon was chal achatzoin. The first pidyon, agabi asimon, by the maishasheni, agabi kapoto, agabi karka, by the hegdish, the first pidyon was chal benegir to the din of mamonos, but not chal benegir to removing the kedusha. It's a very big chiddush, the pashtus is, I mean, chiddush in the Lashon Nekiyah is saying that it's wrong. Pashtus is that it's wrong. Pashtus is that it's not true. Very wild. Then it says, "Hanochri emes animal can't be mitzar fagoy." Gemara said pshita. Gemara said loy tzricha. He's in the middle of conversion process. Shemolva loy toval. And in Yevamis, in the sugya of gerus, there are different opinions. What's ma'akev? So there is an opinion that the mila is ma'akev, but tefila is not ma'akev. There's an opinion the reverse. That tefila is ma'akev, the mila is not ma'akev, because by women. You only have tefillah, you don't have milah. So there's a Tana that says that by men is also the same. The tefillah is ma'akev, and the milah is every Jewish man has to do milah, but even if he doesn't do milah, he's still Jewish. And we paskin that they're both ma'akev. Mova le'toval is still a non-Jew, is still a goy gomer. So that's a famous discussion. The Sridi Yesh has a tshuva. That's a famous shayla that Achrenim has, that he quotes. There is a machlokes, Rebbe and Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon. When you have Shnei Dvarim HaMatirim, or the Ma'alim Zeh B'loi Zeh, what is Shnei Dvarim HaMatirim? When you have the Kivsei Atzeres, when you shech the Kivsei Atzeres and Zerk the Dam Ala Mizbech, Kivsei Atzeres is Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, that's brought on Shavuos. Once a year, you have Shalmei Tzibur, that's on Shavuos, and it has a din of Kochi Kochi. Shalmei Yochad HaKochi Mikalim. And there is no other thing. There's no other Shalmei Tzibur except for Zivchei Atzeres, Kivsei Atzeres. So the shchita and the zrikas adam of the kibse atzeres is mekadosh the lechem, the shtei lechem on Shavuos. So what if you shechted the kibse atzeres lishmo, and then you do the zrikas adam shalor lishmo? So should I say you need all the dalar avoda, shchita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, everything should be done lishmo? And if you only did the first one, two, or three lishmo, the fourth one, the zrikas adam, you did shalor lishmo, so the lechem is lekadosh. It's not Kaddish at all. Others say, no. Shnei Dvarim HaMatirim here, there are four. Shchita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika, four things. Maybe Milam Zebelozeh, maybe when you did the Shchita Lishma, that already endows the Lechem, the Shtei Lechem, with a partial Kedusha. So that's Machlekes HaTanayim, where the Shnei Dvarim HaMatirim, Milam Zebelozeh. So that's where they always raise the issue. By a Gersh and his Gayer, or let's say you had the beginning of Perek Na'ira Hamarasa and the end of Nedorim, so you need an Amarasa. The father with the Orus, but the husband have to both be Mefer. If one is Mefer, not the other, so the Gemara has a whole discussion to what extent is the Neder Hufar. So the Gemara doesn't even consider a possibility to zero extent. The Gemara assumes that if one is Mefer, the other one is not yet Mefer, it has an effect, a partial effect. Why not say Shnei Dvarim HaMatirim has no effect at all? Like a Gersh, a Mova LaTova, LaTova VaLaMola, zero. He's a Goy Gomer. He's not a half a Jew. He's in the middle of the Gersh process, calls Man, you didn't do the Milan, Tefillah is nothing. So why is over here? The Gemara assumes there's absolutely nothing. And by the hafara of the husband and the father, we say if one is mefer and the other one is not mefer, it has a partial effect. It breaks the neder a little bit. Why aren't the cases, these two cases of the geiris and the hafaras nedarim by the Am Rasa, why shouldn't it be the same as the shnei dvarim hamatirim? So Achrayim work on those kashas. Anyway, there's a famous discussion, it's very halacha l'maisa. A ger, let's say, when you have mol v'toval, l'chatchila is supposed to be in that order, first the mila and then the tfila. And b'di'evet it's a machlokes l'rishana. What if the ger was toval in the mikveh first, and then he has the mila later, does he have to be toval in the mikveh a second time? That's a machlokes. So the shach paskins in Yeridim, misofek, if he was first toval in the mikveh and then he was mal, we should insist he should be tevil again, a second time, b'li bracha, because of the machlokes of Rishonim. We want to make sure that he's Jewish. He should be tevil again a second time.
Is that the
tevil of Sheretz? Yeah. They use that expression. How can he have the tefillah before the mila? It's like tevil of Sheretz B'yot. So that's a question. Is it really like Shnei Dvarim HaMatirim? In order to convert a non-Jew, you need two ma'isegeris. You need the ma'isegeris of mila, and then you need the ma'isegeris or tefila, two ma'isegeris. Or do you say no? You only need one ma'isegeris, the tefila, just like by a woman who converts. All you need is one ma'isegeris of tefila. So the man also needs tefila. But it's like toivol v'sheretz b'yot. It can't be toivol, calls man you're an arlo. And one who has arlo cannot become a ger. L'may nafkemina, where you say the mila is a ma'isegeris, or the mila is not really a ma'isegeris, but the arlo is ma'akev in the geris. Nafkemina is, do you really need a bezdin or not? So some Rishonim say explicitly, the Rambam says before, she needed Bezin at the time of the Mila. So what happened? They didn't have a Bezin. You have it a lot of times. You have a non-Jewish woman marry, unfortunately, we have Maisim B'chol Yom, non-Jewish woman marries a Jewish man, because they know that the Jewish husbands are going to treat them nicely. They marry a Goy, he'll be drunk, he'll beat up his wife. So they know how Jewish men make a wonderful husband. So it's very common that non-Jewish women... And they know that the marriage will be more lasting. Jewish marriages are last longer than non-Jewish marriages, so they want to have a lasting marriage. So a non-Jewish woman marries a Jewish man. She never converted. She has a baby boy. The father calls a moil. He does a bris at home. He didn't know that it's a goyish kid. He doesn't know that the mother is not Jewish. He should have asked a lot of questions. If you don't know who the couple is, so you really should ask questions in advance. Because in Europe, they said before the Second World War, they made a nisa, you're not allowed to perform a bris milah on a goyish baby, because later on the child will grow up and he's going to think that he's Jewish, because he doesn't have an arlo. He has a bris, he'll think that he's Jewish. He even has a certificate from the mal, they did a bris milah on him. So they made a nisa, it's not right. You shouldn't be mal a non-Jewish baby unless you're holding by being megar the baby. You can't be megar the baby. It's not right to be megar the baby because man, the mother is not Jewish. She's cooking trefil food for them. The home is not, they're not Shem Shabbos. The father is a Jew and the mother is not Jewish. They're not keeping any of the mitzvahs up there. So that's not right to convert such a child. Converting a non-Jewish baby is based on Zochel Yodim Shleg Bifano. We assume we're doing him a favor. What kind of a favor are you doing him if the home is not kosher, there's no Shabbos, there's no observance of mitzvahs? So it's better that he should remain a goy than he should become converted and violate all the din hater. So you're not doing him a tevil. So it's not right to be megar such a child. So that's a shaila. Let's say when the child was 8 days old, he had a moil, did a bris mila, thinking that it's a Jewish baby. He didn't realize that the mother is not Jewish. But the mila was never done l'shem geiris. Does that pose a problem? And you can't say there was a bezin, even though there were a lot of people watching present by the mila, but they didn't realize that someone is being converted. They didn't realize that the baby was not Jewish. And very often they don't even have the bris and shul. There's nobody there. Have a private bris at home. The moil comes and he does a private bris at home. So that's a shaila. Would you have to repeat to do a hatovas dam bris later? So the ruba of the poskim say that it's not necessary. The two issues. The mila was not done l'shem geirus. It was done l'shem mitzvah. So the ruba of the poskim say that the yevid, that's okay. And then the shaila was, but a bezin is always ma'akev in the geiris. So the Rav HaPaskim say that comes up very often. that the mila is not a maisa geiris, just oilos ma'akev in the geiris. So since it's not really a maisa geiris, it doesn't have to be done under the supervision, under the auspices of a bezin. The chatchila we require a bezin to watch the mila because the Rambam says so. But the Rebbe we would say that the mila was done shalom b'fnei bezin, that it's acceptable. This shara comes up all the time. Okay, we're up to the story about Reb Lezer came into the shul, there was no minyan. So believe that is Sunday morning, regular time. Sunday is a normal day. Okay, I think so. Let me check. Monday is the final. So Monday, I want to give the final. Let's say 9 o'clock.